Everybody here? Woo! Having fun. Go ahead. Okay, turn to page 21 in your notes. No, I gave you a lot of material to read through over the next few days, months, years, however long it takes you to get through that. Look at some of those verses. I checked out, I read through all of them as I was putting the notes down. And sometimes you need to read around that verse a little more to get the context of what's there. But they are good principles. Now, this is not to put us under sin condemnation. All right? It's just to alert us to the fact that, man, there is, God wants us to pray. He wants us to seek wisdom from Him and guidance. And if we don't, what is that? It's arrogance. In the Old Testament, they called it idolatry. You know, we would say, well, no, it's just carelessness. No, it's putting something else before God. Because if you're not going to ask God, what are you going to trust in? Well, you are going to trust in something else, whether it's the government or it's somebody else or your dad's ways or whatever. You know, and of course you say the government, everybody laughing. So good, great, good. We are not going to trust in the government. But we need to pray for our government.
Amen.
Absolutely. Which brings me to verse 21, honest, fervent prayer. Or another phrase that I used for this, give God a reason. And by the way, it's not you. So whatever reason you're going to use for God answering prayer, you're not it. And I'll show you what I mean by that as we go. This is a Greek word called supplication. It's found over and over in the New Testament. In fact, it's found 41 times in the New Testament. Supplication. It's almost always found that way, though a few times it's translated with the word prayer. A couple times it's translated ask. One time it's translated with the two words fervent prayer. Anybody know where that verse is? The fervent prayer of a righteous. It's one Greek word. It's not the white hot prayer. It's fervent prayer. It's the word supplication. The supplication of a righteous man is powerfully effective. We'll talk about that. Close of the class. So, what is supplication? Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious. By the way, that's a command.
Yes, it is.
That's not a suggestion. That's not one of those middle voices, do this for yourself. It's an imperative. Do it. Stop being anxious. That's what it says. Stop being anxious about anything. Anxiety means I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm somehow involved in this. If I don't do something, you know, I've got to be, right? Don't be anxious. And when we're talking about the government, this is a big issue. All right, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer. Now, I don't have time to get into all of these. This is another whole class that I taught on the Greek words for prayer. But the word prayer there is prosuke, which means conversation. Conversation with God. It's the most common way prayer is used in the New Testament. Just talking to God. It's the Greek word prosuke, which means to converse. To commune. Do you have a conversation with someone? Who talks? In a conversation, who talks? Both. It doesn't say have a lecture with God. Yet that's where most of our prayers are lectures. One of the favorite statements, and I've used this before, but someone said, did you talk to the Lord today? Have you talked to the Lord today? You see your hands. What did he say? He was busy talking to Don over here. Jan keeps God busy all the time. He didn't have time to talk to me. You know what? Most of the time, we don't take time to listen. Half of conversation is listening. And when you're talking to God, it ought to be like 90% listening, 10% you talking. We need to listen to God. Conversation, not lecture. God doesn't need a monologue. All right? But in everything, by prayer, talk to God. Now, this next word, and supplication with thanksgiving. The word supplication, we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Notice that they both come, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests, that your demands, your asks, the Greek word aiteo, that thing that we said in the Lord's Prayer, whatever things you desire, whatever things you ask, the Lord knows what you have need of before you ask. Ask, you will receive. All those Greek words, ask, demand, whatever you ask in my name. This is the conflict I'm with him. Whatever we ask in his name, that's all this Greek word request. Aiteo. It means to ask something that is yours by right. We talked about it all the way back at the beginning of the course. Asking for something that is yours by right. With thanksgiving, let your requests, your requires, your demands. You can translate that way. I'm not sure I want to go to God with demands. The Bible says to. Let your demands be made known. How? With thanksgiving. In other words, when I go, it's like, God, you've taken care of me. You've always watched over me. I'm thankful for all the things that you've done. I'm thankful for the blood of Christ. I'm thankful for all the sacrifice he has made. And Father, I'm thankful that you are going to see this thing through. I don't have the answer right now. I still have this pain in my body. I still got this confusion. I still have this. But Father, I know that you're going to answer this thing. I know that you're going to do it. You are the God who sees and cares. You know about the things in my life. You know about all the issues that I'm facing. And Father, I'm just thankful that you see these things ahead of me. You've got a way. You've got an answer. I don't understand it. I'm going to trust in you. Thank you, Father. Now, I got rebuked for praying that way when I was a little Baptist student. Because the Baptist pastor said, you pray with too much boldness. He says, you act like God is going to answer your prayer, and we don't know if he will. He says, you're presuming on God. So I stopped going to the Baptist men's prayer meetings, but I stayed praying that way, right? You know what? We need to have confidence. We need to have thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means God's done it in the past. He's going to do it this time. Amen. That's basically what it means. It comes from the Greek word charis, which is grace, right?
Yeah.
With grace giving. God, you have graced me with this. You're going to grace me again. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. See, you were anxious before. Now you've got what?
The peace.
Peace. You want the peace? See, Paul didn't just say, now let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your heart. Somebody, he didn't say that, did he? Mm-mm. He said, no, stop being anxious. With prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, your demands be made known to God, and then the peace of God. Why? Because I cast it on the Lord. I went to the throne of grace. I left my needs there. I'm thanking God all the way. Do I have all my answers right now? No, but I have the confidence he's going to answer them. Why? Because I ask. Now, I love the J.B. Phillips translation. I put it down there below. This is the New Testament in modern English, J.B. Phillips. He says it this way, don't worry over anything, whatever. Now, it gets this next phrase. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. Tell God every detail of your needs. That's the Greek word supplication. Tell God the details of your every need. Tell God, and the peace of God which transcends human understanding will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is supplication? The basic meaning of the word is it's a prayer of necessity. I've got to have this. Now, I'm not talking about that new Cadillac down on the parking lot. I've got to have this, all right? Although widely ignored, this word is often ignored in a lot of people's teaching on prayer. They don't understand supplication, so they pass it over. You hear things like, well, you know, you don't plead or beg. Well, this Greek word can be translated plead. And it can even be translated beg. Oh, man, we're not begging God. Well, you got to come from the way the word means it. Listen to this. It's applied to those who faithfully call on God, and it is the second most frequent word found for prayer in the New Testament. It's used, as I said, 41 times, either as a noun or a verb, to supplicate or supplication, right? Either the prayer or the verb or the noun. Here's some verses. These are just a few. Matthew 9, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest. No, supplicate the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers. You know why it's a supplication? Because God can't make people go. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out laborers. Because God can't make people go. It would be nice if he could. God can't make people evangelize. He can't make you speak for him. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continue with an accordion prayer and what? Supplication. They didn't just commune with God. They told God their needs. Philippians 4, verse 6, with the verse we just read. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I will that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions. Notice it's the first in the list. When Paul talks about praying for all men, especially kings and all in authority. When it comes to the government, the first thing is supplication. Oh God, the Supreme Court. Oh God, the Tulsa City Council. All right, I'm not going to even go with her. All right, prayers. Supplications first. Prayers, intercessions, and finally giving of thanks. Yeah, you can even thank God. Lord, you've taken care of this country in the past. Has he not?
Amen.
Has God not brought us through incredible things?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He can get us through this.
Yes.
You know, we're going to get through this. Now, I use the next phrase, pouring out our hearts to God, because that's really what the Greek word means. The word deesis, right? Look at the word deesis, D-E-E, two E's, D-E-E-S-I-S, deesis. And deesis in the Greek word, or deomai, means to plead or request for yourself as a necessity. I've got to have this. That which is necessary. The Greek word means, I see this. I don't know how to make it happen. I don't know what all needs to happen to get this here, but this is what I need. How about this? A simple four-letter word for supplication. Help! Ever offer that prayer? Yeah, that's a supplication. God, I don't even know what to ask you for. I don't know how to get myself out of this. I don't know for sure how I got myself here. You know what? David loved this kind of prayer. He got himself in the midst of battles. He got himself into situations, and he called out for God to deliver him. And what did God do? He turned around and delivered him. Well, that little scoot, you know, why in the world, you know, how does he get by with that? Because he was a man after God's own heart. Help! God, if you love my singing, you got to help me because the dead don't praise you. Just saying. Just saying. You know, if you love my voice, you got to get me out of here. All right. Later, it became adapted to praying based on a need. You see the need. Now, there's a lot of prayer that's based on answer. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is prayer that's based on the answer. God, you've always done this. I know you're going to do it. All right, so thanksgiving. The word aiteo. Aiteo is praying for that which is yours by right. The Father knows what you have need of before you ask. Therefore, ask. Whatever you ask in my name. Aiteo. It's based on promise. God said he would. He said he would do it. So there it is. Supplication is when I don't really have a promise. I don't even know what to do about it. All I see is the need. God, something. Something. I need you to help me even know how to pray about this problem. The situation that's there. The need that is there. Because I see the need. And you're looking at the problem. The verse, Matthew chapter 9. Remember that verse, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest? You know what happened just before that? It says the Lord saw the people. And he saw them wandering aimlessly about, like sheep having no shepherd, casting themselves to the ground as if dead. He saw the people wandering aimlessly. And he turned to his disciples and said, the harvest truly is ripe, Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers into the harvest. Supplicate. God needs somebody to go. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'll pray for somebody to go. Yes, sir. We're really into praying for people to go. Now, because we've got chapter breaks, we don't see, because chapter 9 leads right into chapter 10. I know, that's a real mystery. In chapter 10, it says, and so he turned to his disciples and sowed, freely you've received, freely give. As I have given you, so I send you. Right? Yeah. Go. Go. Go in my name. No, we're praying for God to send laborers. We didn't pray for us to go. You missed my prayer, God. I didn't say, Lord, send me. That's Isaiah's prayer. I didn't pray that prayer. I'm not there, right? I was praying for you to send laborers. And God said, yes, somebody else was praying, and the person that they're praying for lives right across the street, so I'm sending you. Thank you very much. Go. But God can't make you go. And so it's a supplication. Do you see the lost? Have you ever looked around and opened your eyes to see the lost? God, how? How? I can't get through this without breaking. I still see us on that boat on the Amazon just a year ago, coming up to this little village. Over 3,000 people standing on the bank. They'd been waiting there for 6 hours for us. Waiting for someone to come and tell them something that they didn't even know about. They never knew who Jesus was. They didn't know how to pray. They didn't know what. They didn't know anything about that. Yeah. And yet there they were. I just wept. God. And you know what he did? He saved them. Yeah, he saved them. Right. And he healed them. That's God. Mm-hmm. So, see, supplication, you see the need. Now, this word depends on compassion and sympathy. If you're not the type of person given to sympathy, given to seeing people with problems and saying, God, how can I help that? Then if you're not that type of person, then you'll never supplicate. Because supplication is based on you seeing a need. Now, it can be your own. Yeah, supplication. You can supplicate for yourself. But many times supplication is based on seeing other things that we care about. And so it's very much need-based, not answer-based. Big difference, and we'll look at this a little bit later. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went into the temple. They saw a lame man, right? The gate beautiful. They saw the lame man. Now, it doesn't sound like a prayer, but it was a prayer. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Right? That's a prayer. Yeah. You know what that is? That's aiteo. That's that prophetic prayer. That's that demanding prayer. God said this, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That was a prayer. And what happened? The man got healed. Contrast that with James chapter 5. If there is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith, what prayer of faith? The prayer of faith that is prayed by these elders. What kind of prayer are they praying? The earnest supplication of a righteous man is powerfully effective. We don't know why this man is sick. We don't know what's hindering his being healed. But we don't have a prophetic word. We don't have that aiteo, rise up and walk. If they have it, why didn't they just say it? Instead, they pray over him and the Lord will heal him. Do you see how that worked? Big difference between James 5 and Acts 3. But you know what? Both men get healed. God is glorified. All right. So this prayer is need-based. It's a supplication. It's a pouring out of the heart is where that really comes from. And so you kind of got to have a heart in order to pray this. You got to care about people. You got to care about circumstances. You know what's unfortunate? Some people don't even care about their own situation. Yeah. They don't really even have a conscious awareness of how bad off they are. And they really need to know. And we've got to help people understand. You know why? Because God answers supplications just as much as he does aiteo. Point number two, it's a plea for mercy. The most common Old Testament word translated by this Greek word is to plead for mercy or grace. So in the Old Testament, they don't have the word supplication until they translated the Hebrew into Greek. And when they did, it's always this phrase, pleading for mercy or grace. To plead for mercy or grace is this word supplication in the Old Testament. And it's frequently used in the Psalms. When there is trouble, when there is overwhelming problem, when there is overwhelming circumstance, when the enemy is not only come against you, but he's loud about it and he's arrogant about it and he's mocking you even as he is doing these things to you. Do you ever feel like your sickness is mocking you? Like sometimes a need or a problem is just laughing in your face? That happened in the Old Testament. And the most common way David prayed was supplication. Most common way. It means a necessity. It's a necessity. It's something that's got to happen. Lost people have to be saved. I don't know how. I don't know how God is going to save some of the friends and the family that we've been asked to pray for. I don't know how God is going to reach certain people. But I know one thing. He told me to pray. So I pray. It's a necessity. It's got to happen. Something's got to be done. I'll show you a little bit more about this. It's also trusting in God's benevolence. This type of prayer puts all back on God's benevolence. God, you're good. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know when you're going to do this. I don't know through whom you're going to do this. But God, I know you're good. I just know you're good. Not I'm good. It's not based on me. It's based on him. God says, I will use this phrase, give me a reason. We'll talk about that in a minute. Give me a reason, and it better not be me. Well, you know, God, I'm so good. They're so good. They need you. You know, that didn't work with the centurion, and it's not going to work with us. God isn't interested in how good you are. He's interested in how good his son is, and do you know it? See, that's where it comes in. Do we know how good God is? And if we know how good he is, how just he is, how merciful he is, how willing he is to insert himself into people's lives, if we know that, then we'll ask. That's what God's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to say, God, I know how good you are. I know that you're going to do this. I know that you are God of mercy more than a God of justice. I know that you are the one who shows mercy when there shouldn't be any. God ever show you mercy when you didn't deserve it? Oh yeah. You can look at some great examples of this. I don't have time to go in all of these. Psalm 28, Psalm 34, Psalm 91. I mean, all of these have this context of this, the Hebrew word which relates to this idea of supplication. But where I want to go is Romans chapter 10. Turn over there. Romans chapter 10. This is Paul's supplication. How many of you know Paul knew the word? You know Paul knew the word?
Yes, he did.
He knew faith? Yes. Did Paul know grace? Yeah, but listen to his prayer. Brethren, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire, my craving, the word desire is crave, the craving of my heart. And my supplication. See, it says prayer, but it's the Greek word deomai. My prayer, my supplication to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I don't know how. You know what? Paul didn't even know how God saved him. How in the world is he going to know how God's going to save his brothers, his relatives? Paul's got a few relatives that have come into the kingdom. They're mentioned in Acts chapter, or Romans chapter 16 and a couple other places. Paul mentions a relative. But you know, most of Paul's relatives probably weren't. What about all those Pharisees that he trained with? Some of them that were the chief persecutors of the church, who now are his greatest opponents. Brother, my craving, the longing of my heart, and my supplication to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They don't even see how wrong they are. But God, you got to help them. Turn back to chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ. Chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. In other words, if it wasn't that I'm already writing the Word of God, and that God is backing up my words, I'm telling you, this is honestly from the Spirit. That I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow. Paul, you need to get over that. You need to cast that on the Lord. Didn't Paul say, didn't God say, be anxious for nothing? No, this is a heaviness for what? Heaviness for the lost. Have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Verse 3, catch this. I wish that I myself could be accursed from Christ. That's the way it reads in the Greek language. Could be accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsman according to the flesh. If there was a way that I myself could be accursed and they could be saved. But you know what? Jesus already was. Yeah. It's not that Paul's denying that or he's not realizing that. He's just longing that. That's the same prayer Jesus prayed on the cross. It's the same prayer he had when he wept over Jerusalem. How I long to gather you. But you don't want me. I cannot imagine the grief in our Lord's heart. That's what Paul's feeling. Can you feel that for the lost? Can you feel that sometimes for people who have great need, overwhelming problems, overwhelming issues in their life? People who have lost their dearest relative, their father, a child? Can you feel this kind of prayer and you don't have answers and you don't have a, quote, prophetic word to pray over them, but you know they need something from God and you don't even know what it is? That's a supplication. God help. I don't know how. I don't know what. If you want to use me, if you can use me, give me words. Give me something. Use me. Use somebody else. Giving God a reason. My next point. The implication of this type of prayer is that we're given the opportunity to approach God in faith. Listen, this is a prayer of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer is the supplication of a righteous person. How many righteous in the room? See your hands. You're all righteous, all right? If you don't know it, you are. Okay. The prayer of a righteous person is powerfully effective. The supplication. But I don't know what to do. This is a prayer of faith. It's just not sounding like the faith that we normally pray. Because we think a prayer of faith is quoting the Word. You don't have a word for this. You know, if there was a word that would save all the lost, I'd pray it. If I could pray all the lost in the world into the kingdom of God in a day, I'd do it. Young man that I went to Peru with, he's going to Honduras next year. He's got a program set up. It's called One Nation, One Day. He's going to be in every major capital city in all of the states of Honduras with a major crusade in every state. He's going to have teams that have visited every public school in all of the nation of Honduras. And on one day, one crusade, see that whole nation be offered the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will that save every person? No, but the opportunity is going to be there for tens of thousands of people to hear the gospel in a day. Wow. But you got to have a heart for people if you're going to do something like that. Yeah. So what is this? This is a lot of faith. Isaiah 43, put me in remembrance, the Lord says. Let us plead together. State your case that you may be justified. Now listen, don't get ahead of me here, that you may be justified. State your case that you might be justified. Listen to the Moffat translation. I got it there in your notes. Recall to me one single incident demonstrating why you should be justified in your request. So God says, I'm going to him with a problem. I'm going to him with this need. God says, give me a reason. They're good people. not going to work. I'm a good person. Not going to work. I don't have a reason. Then you don't know the heart of God. You can come up with a reason. I'm going to give you several. There's several reasons we could come to the Lord. I'm going to come back to Abraham's application and Moses' intercession in just a minute. Four things that we can find in the Scripture that are reasons that God will answer these things. Number one, He will honor His name. Moses prayed in Numbers 14. Elijah prayed in 1 Kings. The church prayed in Acts chapter 4. All of them vindicating, honoring the name of the Lord. Moses said, God, Your name is on these people. Your name is on these people. Elijah prayed, this is Your nation, O God. These are Your people. Are you with me? So God's name, His honor. That's one reason to pray. Notice that's not about you. That's about Him. God, Your name is in this. This is Your church. Right? These are Your people, dear God. These people have called upon You. They're trusting in You. That Your name is upon them. All right? Number two, His word or His promise. That's enough reason. His word. Daniel chapter 9. You love it. You got to love it. He read Jeremiah 25. Yeah. Jeremiah 25 said 70 years. After 70 years are accomplished, I will deliver My people. Everybody's saying, when are we going to get out of here? I hate this place. How long, oh God. Daniel opened the book. He read the book. 70 years. He began counting. 70 years from here to here. This year. You know what Daniel did? He set himself to pray. He said, God, You said 70 years. 70 years is up. Here's what my prayer. And God said, Daniel, You're right. And He sent an angel to say, I'm going to do this. Right? And God began turning the whole thing, and within a day, the nation of the Medes fell, or the nation of Babylon fell, the Medes came in, Israel was released. Over, done. Wow. In a day? Why? Because Daniel found the promise. You know, you can find a promise from God. You can find the word from God. In one way, we could say that's what Peter and John did. They had the word that Jesus said, whatever you ask in My name, I'll do it. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. How's that? And as far as we know, that's the first time that they did that. And you know what happened? It worked. I'm sure Peter and John looked at this and said, well, this is pretty good stuff. No. They had confidence. His word. We can pray based on God's justice and His righteousness. We get so many examples in the Old Testament intercession. You really need to read the Bible. Okay? Numbers chapter 16. When Moses was interceding for Israel, when they were in rebellion, the earth opened up and swallowed a bunch of people. Remember that? Fire came down and burned a bunch more. Moses stopped in the middle and said, stop! That's enough. And God stopped. You say, God repented? Well, you got to think of God's repentance in the proper perspective. When God repents, it's from one right thing to another right thing. When we repent, it's from a wrong thing to a right thing. God is right in judging. He's also right in showing His mercy. Your father was right to punish you. He was also right to say, that's okay. How many are for the that's okay side? Yeah. That's what I was always hoping for. Unfortunately, too often it went to the other. Moses knew the heart of God. And God could see that Moses cared about the people as much as God did. That's what He's waiting for. Do you care about these people? Do you think God doesn't care about the lost? He's just waiting for somebody to ask. He's waiting for us to ask. God is waiting for us to call upon Him to see His justice and His righteousness done. God, this is unjust. This is unrighteous, what is being done. Do you know of any unjust, unrighteous things that are being done in our nation right now?
Yes.
Do you know of any of those things? How about let's pray? What kind of prayer? Can you speak one word and they'll stop? No, but we can supplicate. And God can move things, turn things, work things in ways that we don't understand. I don't know how to tell God how to fix it. All I know is He can. And I'm going to trust Him. That's supplication. God, I trust You to fix this. I don't know how. I wish it would stop tomorrow. But I know one thing, You're going to do it. Oh, and finally, when you run out of everything else, His mercy. How's that? You know, if you can't think of anything about His honor, His name, His word or His promise, His justice or His righteousness, just go to God's mercy. Because God is a great and merciful God. He said, I know we love to quote the first half of this, I am a God who visits the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who reject Me, who refuse to love Me, is what it says. And then we stop. But in the Hebrew language, it's just a comma. But showing mercy to thousands of generations of those that love Me. Why do we want to stop with the judgment? God judges, rejecting, visiting the iniquity, yet showing mercy to thousands of generations of those that love Me. Which is greater? A couple generations of judgment or thousands of generations of mercy? Yeah. So we call upon God's mercy. Psalms 25, Psalm 86, Mark chapter 10. This is the story of Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus cried out, God, have mercy. Have mercy. You think of the Syrophoenician woman. She wasn't even Israeli. She was a pagan. She was a meddler in all manner of evil. And her child had demons, which is the natural result of her mother's religion. And she cried out, and Jesus healed her daughter. Come on. That's the mercy of God. Don't tell me His mercy doesn't reach through. So what we have in this is this pattern that we see. Now I talked a minute, I skipped over these, but go back and look at Abraham's application and Moses' intercession. Remember the story of Abraham? That Lot was in the city of Sodom. Abraham began to pray. The angels came, visited him, right? The Lord speaking through these angels. They said, we're going to do this thing. And he said, what if there's 50 righteous? What did Abraham really want? Did he want the city of Sodom saved? What did he really want? Lot. That's who he's after, Lot. Why didn't he just ask God, my nephew Lot's in that city? God said, I know that. You know, and if you burn it to destroy the whole city, then Lot and his family are going to be done. Instead of Abraham doing that, he went kind of around the barn. What if there's 50? What if there's 45? What if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? Finally, he stopped at 10. Now, some people say Lot stopped, but no, it doesn't say that. It says God stopped speaking with him. God stopped him at 10. Do you know why? Because Lot, his wife, two married daughters, two unmarried daughters, did they have any righteous effect on that city or not? If they'd had the righteous effect to bring even two more people in, 10. But Lot's family was having no effect of righteousness on the city. God said, I'm going to destroy the city. He didn't say, I'm going to destroy Lot. Why do you think God sent the angels there to begin with? God was going to deliver Lot and his family anyway, if they would come. Finally, Lot came out and his wife and his two daughters, right? The two unmarried daughters, they came out, but his wife turned back. And so all he got left was his two daughters. And then what did they do? They turned their own sin against their father, right? They brought all of that out with them. But you know who lived? Lot lived. So you could say, well, Abraham's prayer didn't get answered. Yeah, it did. Lot was saved. You know, why don't we just be honest with God? And when God's done, when He says that's the limit, that's the most I can do, He'll tell you. And just like it says, when he got down to 10, it says, and the Lord stopped speaking to Abraham. It doesn't say Abraham stopped asking. Read it. I don't care what you've heard preachers say, that's what the scripture says. God stopped speaking. That's it. 10. That's the limit. And God called the limit. Moses' intercession, where he talked about that, but in Exodus 32, that's when Aaron had built the calf. And they were worshiping down there and the whole thing. And Aaron was saying, well, it wasn't me. You should have seen it. It was an amazing thing. All the gold came off these women's ears and off their hands and off their arms and came out of the tents and it danced over to the fire. And the next thing you know, this calf just came and came. It was amazing. Spielberg couldn't have done it any better. I mean, it was awesome stuff. You just should have been here. No, that's not the way it happened. The Bible clearly says Aaron took their gold and Aaron put it in. Aaron fashioned the calf and then he presented it to people and said, behold your God. Excuse me? But you know what? Moses interceded. God said, I'm going to destroy them all and just start over with you and me. How's that? Some people would have said, fine with me. These people, you know, 1.5 million people in the wilderness, that's more than I could handle anyway. So it's just you and me, God. Let's just go on together. But Moses wouldn't. He says, no, wait a minute. You promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you would bring your people back. You promised this to them. You think God didn't remember that? You think God had forgot? No, God doesn't forget. Did Abraham or did Moses forget? That's the point. Do you know what God has said? Do you know what He has promised? Can you take His mercy, His justice, His righteousness, His name, His honor? Can you take His word and His promise? Can you take those before the throne and say, here's a reason? God, I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to save our nation. I'm asking you to bless our nation. I'm asking you to bless our leaders. I'm asking you to use those who are in leadership to do your purpose and accomplish your will. I'm asking that you stop abortion. I'm asking that you intervene in these evil things that are going on in our world, that all of this evil drug and all these things, that they come to an end. I know I can't stop it with one word, but God, you can fix it, and I trust that you can. Do we believe that or don't we? You say, well, I can't see how it's going to happen. You don't have to see how it's going to happen. You have to talk to the one who can make it happen. That's what prayer is. That's what supplication. I am not going to let my misunderstanding, my limited knowledge, stop me from asking God for what I think He can do. Because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than you can hope, dream, ask, think, or imagine. So how in the world can we have all the wisdom to ask God for everything we need when He can do more than we can even imagine? I mean, I can imagine a bunch of stuff. I can imagine lots of stuff. But you know what? God can do more. Whew, forgive me for preaching. All right, fervent prayer. Finally, I gotta sum this up. James chapter 5. Is this helping?
Yes.
I hope this is. So when we go to God in supplication, I don't know. Sometimes I have no idea what it is I'm asking for. I don't even know how to ask. But I'm asking God. God, you're just merciful. I know you're merciful. I know you care. I know you care. In this passage, James chapter 5, there's an untold story here that you have to pull out as you read it. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. All right, so if a person's suffering, let them pray. Do you see that? That's a person with faith. Are you suffering? Pray. I didn't say, let me pray for you. I said, you pray. You know what? You should all be doing that. If you got problems, pray. That should be my first response. You say, well, I've got this in my life. Have you prayed about it? No, that's why I came to you. Why? Why did you come to me? I don't think I had enough faith to have it done. All right. See, if you're going to be honest with me, good. If it's just because you don't want to pray, be honest about that. Are you suffering? Pray. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. Whatever prayer we're praying is a prayer of faith. Listen to me. Any prayer is a prayer of faith. There's not a prayer of faith. I know that doesn't always screen up with the way you've heard it. But there is not a prayer of faith. If you're praying in faith, that's a prayer of faith. Everybody with me on that? Right? Communion with God in faith. Do you believe God or not? If you don't, why are you talking to Him? As Don said earlier, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. You won't even come to God and talk to Him if you don't believe. So, trust Him. And the prayer of faith will, notice this word, save the sick. The Greek word is make whole. Make whole, which includes healing, but it also includes forgiveness of sin, restoration, health, wholeness, all manner of things. And the Lord will raise him up. And if, circle the word if, it's highlighted in your notes. And if, notice it says first condition. The Greek word is better translated since. And since he has committed sin. Not if he has, since he has. See, this is the unseen issue in this prayer. Why couldn't this man pray for himself? Because his own sin, and he couldn't get past his sin. Either he thought his sin was too grievous that God wouldn't hear him. He thought his sin was more. His sin kept him from even asking God, kept him from having faith. Anybody with me on that? You understand? How many of you, when you had sin in your life, you didn't want to ask God? Didn't want to talk? This man might be a believer, he might not be a believer. But if he called for the elders, I'd say there's something, you know? Whether he's saved or not saved, he's still calling for the leaders of the church. And if he has committed, that's a Greek phrase which means before he asked, he had already committed this sin. Right? It's just a Greek structure, which means before he asked for the problem, right? Before he asked for his thing, he had already committed the sin. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Is that a promise from God or what? If he has, since he has committed sin, they're going to be forgiven. Why? Because he's calling upon God. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. What's this man going to do? He's going to get these elders there. He's going to say, you know, the reason I couldn't pray, the reason I didn't believe I could, the reason I didn't think God could heal me, the reason I don't think is because I got this sin in my life. You know what? God cares. Your sins are forgiven. Not because of what I said, because of what Jesus did, right? But I have the power to tell people their sins are forgiven. Do you know that?
Yes.
You have the power to tell people that. You have the power to tell people that because of their faith in God, their sins are forgiven. Not because of what you said. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? Listen to this. The effective. The Greek word energeo. The working. The powerful. The effective deasis. Fervent prayer. It's one Greek word. Fervent prayer is one word. The effective, the energetic supplication of a righteous man is powerful. Skuo is a Greek word which means to actually do work. It's effective. So the energetic supplication of a righteous man is powerful. One translation, the supplication of a righteous one is filled with energy and very strong in its power. And then he illustrates it with Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was a human. Did Elijah fail? Did Elijah have mistakes? Yeah, he had all those things. And he did what? He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. How did he pray for the rain to stop? Do you remember? Tell me, how did he pray for the rain to stop? He just spoke to the skies. He said, by my word, there'll be no rain on this earth. Thank you very much. Goodbye. That was it. That was his prayer. But when he prayed for the rain to come, he bowed himself to the ground, right? He prayed 7 times. He sought. One was a prophetic word, aiteo. God said, Elijah, go tell the king there'll be no more rain. He walked in, there's going to be no more rain. Who says? I say, because God told me. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And there was no more rain. When it came time to start rain, he didn't have a word from God. He saw. He felt. He looked. He could see the revival happening. He'd already destroyed the priests. He saw all that working, and he said, this is the time. It's now time for the rain to come. And he prayed, and you know what? It rained. Which prayer was more powerful? Stopping the rain or starting it? I don't know. The same. So, is a prophetic prayer, iteo, asking, demanding in the name of Jesus, is that powerful? Is it powerful? Is it sure? Is it certain? Is supplication?
Yes.
Just as much. Powerfully effective. It just goes through a different route. Do you see that? If you supplicate in faith based on what? God's mercy, His righteousness or justice, His word or His promise or the honor of His name. If you supplicate giving God a reason, you know what? God's going to do it. Even if you don't see how, you don't know when, and you don't understand everything that's going to happen, you know what? I'm trusting God. And how am I going to end my prayer? Father, I thank you.
Amen.
You said you would do it. I trust in your mercy. I trust in your justice. Thank you, Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we open our hearts to the truth of your word. Father, let us be attentive to the needs of this world. Father, help us to see and help us to bring these needs to your great throne. For you are a high priest, touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. You know the limitations. You know the difficulties. You know when we don't even understand what to ask or how to ask. But Father God, you are faithful. And you will help us. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Bless you all. Oh, hey, I got these papers. I forgot to give these out. This is that thing I talked about last week, an intimate message from God to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. These are all things that God says to His children. So if you want a copy of this, they're up here at the front. Maybe take some to the back. And all right, one more week. So next week we're going to talk about the help of the Holy Spirit in our prayer. And then we're going to talk about the Lord's intercession. So, all right. Yes, ma'am. You can ask. Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask a